Ezekiel 28. The word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, Son of man, tell the prince of Tyre. And let's note that this prophecy is about a man, it's about the prince of Tyre. Thus says Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet you are man and not God, though you set your heart as the heart of God. So you see again the huge importance that God puts on the heart, on how you think. This prince of Tyre could have been condemned for all sorts of reasons, but God singles out his state of mind, his attitudes. It's so important to God. And that's what the Christian life is about being spiritually minded. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. That is, you think you're wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is hidden from you. By your wisdom and by your understanding, you have become rich and have gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom and by your traffic, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. This is the trouble with wealth. That's why Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Because the problem with wealth is that it makes people lifted up in pride, and you wonder why most Christians have not been wealthy. Some have been, but generally I think the gospel is attractive and is believed by the poor. Yeah, that makes sense, because wealth lifts up. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, because you've set your heart as the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers on you, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile your brightness. They shall bring you down to the pit, that's to the grave, and you shall die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you yet say before him who kills you, I am God? But you are man, and not God, in the hand of him who stabs you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, says the Lord Yahweh. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Now he's dead, as it were. And tell him, thus says the Lord Yahweh, you seal up the imitation full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, etc. Gold workmanship of tambourines and of pipes was yours, and the day that you were created, they were prepared. I put a terrifying messenger there to guard you. You lived on my holy mountain and walked among sparkling gems. What's all this saying? Let's remember who this is talking about. It's talking about the king of Tyre, who was a man who was going to be killed. And it's emphasized, you are a man, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised. Verse 9 has said, but you are man and not God. This is talking about a man. This is not talking about an angel that sinned. It's talking about a man. But he was in the garden of God. He was on God's holy mountain, which was Zion, the temple mountain. And that was set up as the Garden of Eden. So the language is a little bit difficult, but you have to keep remembering that this is talking about the Prince of Tyre. Just as in Isaiah 14, you've got similar language about the Prince of Babylon, the King of Babylon, who's called Lucifer, who was to be cast down. It's talking about a man. It's talking about a man who was once highly exalted, who's going to be brought down. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Well, I think that Hiram, king of Tyre, was a great friend of David and sort of did accept covenant with God. And I think this later king of Tyre perhaps also had the same relationship with God and had been there in Jerusalem at the Temple Mount, but he fell away from that because of his pride. I think that's the idea. By the abundance of your trading, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I have cast you out as profane from the Mount of God, that's the Temple Mount, and the angel who guarded you drove you away from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You've corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I have cast you to the ground. I have laid you before kings that they may see you." We read earlier that he was to be thrown down to the grave, to the pit, which is where dead men go. It's not talking about anyone being thrown literally from heaven to earth in the Garden of Eden. You just got to read it carefully and slowly, and you'll see the truth about this. "By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trading, you have profaned your sanctuary. Therefore have I brought forth a fire from the midst of you. It's devoured you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all those who see you." So it's not true that this is talking about some angel that got thrown down to earth from heaven, who's wandering around, causing trouble, tempting people to sin. This prince of Tyre was to go down to the pit, to the grave, and is turned to ashes on the earth. He's not alive. "All those who know you among the peoples shall be astonished at you. You have become a terror, and your life will end evermore. Your life shall end forever." So then, this person is not alive. It is not true that it's talking about some wicked angel that got chucked out of heaven and is now stalking around the earth. And now you've got a prophecy against Sidon, which was another city near to Tyre. So you see this is in the context of a load of prophecies about various towns and cities and their leaders here on earth. "The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Sidon, and prophesy against it, and say, Thus says Yahweh, Behold, I am against you, Sidon. I will be glorified in the midst of you, and they shall know that I am Yahweh, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. I will send plague into her, and blood into her streets. The wounded shall fall in the midst of her, with the sword on every side, and they shall know that I am Yahweh." I think that that means that too late, just before they died, these people would come to recognize God, Yahweh. But of course, the idea is that we must know him now, not wait till the day of condemnation. And nobody who's condemned is going to be passive. Nobody is going to shrug and say, well, I never wanted it anyway. They will all desperately, like the girls in the parable, be banging on the door, please let us into the kingdom. But it will be too late. "There shall be no more a pricking briar to the house of Israel, nor a hurting thorn of any that are around them that scorn them. And they shall know that I am the Lord Yahweh. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the nations, then shall they dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. They shall dwell securely therein. Yes, they shall build houses and plant vineyards and shall dwell securely, when I have executed judgments on all those who do them despite all around them. And they shall know that I am Yahweh their God." So this is talking about nations around Israel, like Tyre, like Sidon. And finally, this will be fulfilled in the last days, when finally the kingdom of God will be established, the re-established kingdom of God, which was the kingdom of Israel in the past, and there will be no more violence and aggression in the land of Israel.